What's up, guys? Welcome to the FloTCast for episode 82. Ladies and gentlemen, we're getting closer to, I don't know what goal we have, I guess to produce 100 episodes of the pod, something like that. Is that what we're going for?
100 sounds like a fair goal.
Yeah, it's fair. I mean, we're going to go on, you know, continuously past that, but like 100 seems good, right?
It's a benchmark, yeah. You know, like when you age, right, you have your 15th birthday because you're officially like a teenager, right? Your 18th birthday, you're a quote unquote adult, right? 21, you could start the party, right? 25, you could rent a car and your insurance goes down. 100, you've made it, right?
Yeah.
That's the end goal. So
yeah, you're in the big leagues. Well, that's not end game. End game's like when we're like 60, however many episodes that is, when I'm pushing retirement. Yeah, I think that's end game. And even then, you can still pod after that, right?
Do we just like, when we both have gray hair, just hand the pod off to whoever the next two assholes
children?
That are like us? Yeah, like, oh, our children, bro. Our son.
Or the perfect like send off, like, Our legacy just carries on. The FloTCast in 2027 is Levi and your kid just like, what the fuck is up, guys? Welcome to the FloTCast.
Bro, you know how much I'd cry tears of pride, bro?
We'll be sitting in our rocking chairs in the retirement home just like, hey, let's listen to the kids' pod. And then we like put them side by side.
You put that in 2027, though. That's only 5 years away.
Did I say 2027? I meant like 2057.
But yeah, no, that would be super sick, especially if my son had the same like attitude that we do, you know, which I don't think he is. He's too nice of a kid. He's not jaded like we are yet.
I don't know. Levi isn't my birth kid. He's my adopted kid, but he has too many similarities to me, bro. Just his mannerisms. I'm like,
he's a mini you.
Like, I'm like, dear wife, did we not meet 11 years ago? This dude is like me, and he's not even technically mine, but he is mine. Anyway, how you doing, my man?
I'm good, man. You know, working every day, you know, getting tired, working too hard, but it's starting to warm up, so I'm happy about that because that means I won't have to drive through the cold to play Pokemon. And less importantly, I can go fishing without wearing like 8,000 jackets. So
it's so weird, bro. It's still early February. I'm waiting for the blistering winter that I predicted.
But were you not here when it was like fucking 22 degrees?
Yeah, but that was only for like 2 days.
Or the 4 inches of snow. Bro, I haven't seen snow in Huntsville since I moved here 3 years ago. And there was 4 inches one day.
Jesus, bro. Let me tell you what I've been doing the last week, though.
All right, go ahead.
Nothing. I have not worked at all. I have not been at work. I caught what I thought was COVID symptoms on Sunday. So I, you know, failed my screening test because I, you know, I thought I had COVID. So I go get tested. It's negative. And they won't let me go back to work until after Sunday. And I'm like, all right.
Well, I mean, I'm glad it was negative, but yeah. It sucks that you haven't been at work, you know.
I get paid for it, so it's just like,
oh, even better. Yeah, you can't even complain about that at all.
I've been potty training my daughter. Shout out to her. She's killing it. And we took her to the dentist. That's about it. That's about it. Just playing a boatload of Legends Arceus, dog. That game is chef's kiss. Incredible.
It's still so good.
Yeah.
I mean,
I've already put more hours into that game than Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. But we'll get to that later. We have to talk about Pokemon cards because my boy Scott Steckley here was crushing it this past weekend.
Thank you.
Yeah, what happened with that, dog?
So, you know, the Win Condition Games, shout out Connor Fenton. I almost called him Connor Finnan. Wow.
I was about to say Connor McDavid, but that's a NHL player, superstar.
Yeah, so anyhow, Connor, cool, real cool guy. Known him for a while. But anyhow, his store down in just outside of Atlanta was throwing a 1K. So naturally, me and the homies show up, minus Max Lowe, because he had to stay home for his wife to get her nails done or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
So, yeah, we show up. We bring Single Strike again, the busted list with the escape ropes.
That deck
because
sucks.
I, Anyhow, because I thought we were going to see a lot of wheezing, seeing that Jalen just came off the last 1K with a win with wheezing. Turns out I didn't hit a single wheezing, so the escape ropes were a terrible idea. But we ended up going 4-1 and then IDing in the cut and then losing promptly in top eight. So
what'd you lose to in top eight? I don't think we talked about it.
So both times I lost to some variant of Rapid Strike Urshifu, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible matchup for single strike. But it was the variant with like the, it had the, it was dark Urshifu, but it had like the Articuno and the Rose Tower draw engine. So you just discarded everything and then you draw three basically until you like get the pieces you need. And it was a close game. Game one, he like stomped me into the ground. I didn't know which way was up. Game two, I ended up overwhelming him and getting. In game three, it came down to he needed to hit his one of Rapid Strike Energy out of like however many cards were left in deck. It wasn't that many, but it was enough that like there was a chance and he hit it. So if he didn't hit that, I win the next turn. But you know, you take those. It was a good match. Super, super cool opponents, you know. And then I just got rapid striked, which is fine because I was just giving people the single strike business all day. So
that's what's up, my man. That's what's up. That's awesome though, that you know, I couldn't make it, so you had to carry the torch on to top cut at another 1K, and I really do appreciate you carrying out my legacy, because it's my legacy. I'm just playing.
Oh, my God.
No, you were on a good run the last time. You got top 16 with the same deck. The first one we played.
2 for 2 winning money this year at 1K, so can't complain about that.
We're in the money as far as the Floaty cast goes, the two co-hosts. Like, I haven't dropped a single top cut at all, so that's pretty good. I'm proud of you. I personally played the deck at the late night series, and fuck you, my dude. I'm never playing that deck again.
Bro, I don't know what it is. I hate it. I think you just hate single strike decks.
I just think
it's counter your play style. So that's you got to think about it like that, right? You like to just put pressure in people's faces from turn one, right? Single strike's not that deck. You don't turn one, put pressure on. I always say that.
Like, I love turbo decks. Like, Turbo Dark in the past, that was my thing. Turbo Dark and Expanded was my thing. Rayquaza was cool. Eternatus was cool. I say Rayquaza like a Mega Ray, because it wasn't turbo decks as far as, you know, vomiting energy on the board. It was turbo as you vomited Pokemon on the board and swing for big numbers. Like, that was cool. And Welder Mewtwo was kind of turbo because you vomit energy on the board and like throw things up. And then I play Dragapult, and like that, there's nothing turbo about Dragapult.
So, it puts pressure on.
It does put pressure, but like you got to be smart with Dragapult, and I'm not smart. So like the marriage I had with that deck, I don't understand it. So like, but like playing. I guess single strike is kind of vomit energy on the board, right? Once you get your Houndoom set up, and
that's a common misconception, okay. That's why I win with the deck and you don't. So. Okay,
fair enough. I'll just vomit energy on the board with Alisa Sparkle and draw a boatload of cards.
There you go.
All right. You know what? It's
beat fine. Me anyhow. That's how it goes. Sorry.
Yeah. Bro, I don't know how to beat you, bro. What you talking about? You cooked me the last time we played in a tournament.
Yeah. It should be like a relatively fair matchup though, considering that it should be one sided numbers wise, but Mew beats single strike, I'd probably say 40% of the time, which is a number that's much too high for something that should auto win, right?
Which is pretty good when you're going to a regionals. If you're playing Mew at a regionals, like when they happen, we'll get to the regionals discussion later. Don't be afraid to, you know, square up with a single strike person at all. Don't be afraid. Just have the confidence. Don't shake in your boots. That's not how you do it. But speaking of single strike, last week we talked about Gengar.
Yeah, it was last week, I think. It was one of these weeks that we talked about the meta and we said Gengar is doing really good.
Yeah, and Gengar is still doing really good. It got second place at the late night series as well. Also, I do want to give some love to Mew VMAX because it is Mew's world and we are all living in it, but Mew has adapted again, ladies and gentlemen. Breaking news. Cue the SportsCenter track. Pokemon catchers are good in Mew. Scott, what do you think about that?
I think people are just getting bored and throwing random things in a good deck. I don't necessarily think it's a great idea, but it's not terrible, right? Like, I think there's better cards.
My one reason why I like Pokemon catchers in Mew VMAX, and this is the only reason why I like it, and probably why I would say 85 to 90% of the people playing Pokemon catchers in Mew VMAX, is the fact that you can burn it and you don't fill your hand with boss's orders, because you limit your count to boss's orders to two. Don't play one. God, Jesus Christ. If you play one and go tails all day, you're screwed. But you can play two boss's orders and you're not looking at a hand of three to four boss's orders because you've been sitting on them all game. And you're like, fuck, man. I can't draw cards. So, like, you can burn the Pokemon catchers if you don't need them alongside with your boss, I guess. I mean, that doesn't sound too good, but, like, you can, you know, you can throw Pokemon catchers away, right? Like, you can play them, gust up, whatever, and if it's the thing you want to gust up because you hit heads, like, cool. If not, you can dig for boss. So, like, I like the Pokemon catchers in a deck like that because most of what Mew is chucking and drawing, chucking and drawing, chucking and drawing, and that's a chuck and draw kind of card. And I mean, you're already playing Cram-O-Matic, so like, what's more flip cards, bro? Might as well play fucking Crushing Hammers, right?
Oh my gosh. You need
Energy
to
Denial Mew VMAX, all right? It's good. Actually, I have no idea if it's good. But as Scott said earlier, I did want to talk a little bit about Single Strike before we got on Gengar and stuff and I got off topic. He said the escape ropes were... I talked to Scott before the late night series. He said escape ropes were really good for
the Weezing matchup,
which obviously round two, he told me to swap the escape ropes with the switch. Round two, I'm up against Weezing. I want to punch this man in the mouth.
That's unfortunate. I mean, you can still win the matchup. It's not like an auto loss. It's just, it's a whole lot easier if you could use your Houndooms, but
I was like, oh, you know it'd be great right now, fucking escape rope.
I don't know, man, it puts you in so many awkward situations outside of Weezing. Like during the stream match on the 1k, I like dug super hard to like try to find a switching out for this Crobat that I was stuck on for like three turns against Lindsay, and I found it. So I ended up bossing up her Jolteon, and then I had to escape rope it back to the bench. So I was like, great, like this is fantastic. I love my life right now.
My man's on stream, he's like, FML boys.
I think I looked at her and I told her, I was like, this should have been a fucking switch or something like that, and she started laughing. I think, I don't know, but
well, she was at the Chattanooga one, like preaching the gospel on an escape rope. And I like, don't get me wrong, I like escape rope and I like switch, which is why it's good at 2-2 and Mew VMAX.
Well, but I will say this. So she played the escape rope. I think it came down in the game. And because of it, it put me... Yeah, that's what put me in the super awkward spot that I had to find an energy or switching out for last turn. She also, though, plays Palpad, which a lot of people disagree with. But if she doesn't play Palpad, she loses that game turn two because she discard like... three professors research and two Marnies off of another research. So she, all of her researches and all of her Marnies were in the discard turn one.
I've always been sus on Palpad. Like, and it doesn't even have to be Jolteon. I mean, just in general, like I've been seeing Japanese lists, especially when Brilliant Stars comes out, maybe like in Mew and stuff like that. I see him playing one Palpad. I don't know if that's just a Japanese thing or if that's like that could be like adopted here, but I feel like, well, Palpad could be a strong card in the future. Like, I always liked it in like Zoroark decks because, you know, recycling shit, but I don't know.
Well, so the idea behind it, especially in the Japanese list, is now we have Finneon, I think it is, the Tapu Lele reprint, so you could Palpad and then search it out, right? Palpadding in general doesn't seem very good unless you just need a supporter later without a search option, but now that you have a way to directly search it, You have the combo to put it in your hand. In Jolteon, I kind of agree with it because it acts as like another Marnie or another research to help the draw engine because it just bricks
or
hard
Cheryl.
When it does brick. Or another Cheryl, yeah. So you're playing two Cheryl generally anyhow, so a Palpad just allows you to play two Cheryl and also something else, like a fifth of something else. Or yeah. A third boss or whatever the case may be. So.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, it same concept, but like you were talking about with Lumineon, you have that with Drizzile, right? You got Palpat in your hand, but you don't have research. You can go grab your research, pop Drizzile, and go, ba-da! Or you can go path, Marnie, whatever. Yeah. Palpat, I think Palpat will definitely get some love, you know, in the future. And we'll talk about Lumineon a lot more later, for sure.
Yeah, before we move off the meta updates, though, we got to give some love to this list that's doing stupid. Like it shouldn't be doing as good as it's doing, but it's getting close. So like Metagross.
Oh yeah, that goes in the Grant tier, bro. That goes in the Grant Manly tier.
like he's the one that played it first, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm looking at this list and I don't know how it got that high, but it got 22nd in the full heel standard too. So I mean, it's good. That's pretty up there, you know.
Yeah, Metagross is popping off a little bit on accident.
I don't understand.
On accident. We did not do this on purpose, bro. Which one? Which full? Oh, there was 127 people in that one.
Yeah, and it got 22nd. So it got 22nd.
Which is not like, bad.
It's not up there, but it's kind of up there, bro. Yeah. For a deck that it shouldn't be up there. Like this, it plays like Face Guard, which is crazy because I never thought that. See play.
I've never even heard of that. What does it do?
It you take 20 less damage from attacks from your opponent's Pokemon.
Oh, if you have no abilities, and Metagross don't have no abilities, but can search cards with its Zap Traction. And I think the only thing that absolutely slaughters this deck is Fire Dex. And
name a good one.
Victini.
There you go. Victini.
Who's playing that?
Like, if you hit like the, well, I mean, it's been up there too, 1-0 or 2-0, but if you hit the one Victini player or the one guy crazy enough early rounds to be playing Leon Zard, you might have an issue. Other than that, I mean, it's not too terrible, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there is a Victini list that's like chilling, but that's like they're both kind of the same thing, right? They're both energy denial. And that's another thing, like even Victini can lose to it because you can't accelerate energy fast enough, right? They're like, what is it? Metagross is playing Crushing Hammers and stuff like that, and so is Victini. And you're just like pissing each other off like the whole time. So
like an absolutely horrendous match.
Bro, I tell you what, if I'm the Metagross player up against a Victini dog, I'm puckered up, dog. Like if he's hitting hammerheads, he's bullying me right now. Like, I ain't about all that. But, like, I mean, Victini's got to go into the VMAX and, like, have the energy on board, and you're both single attaching, so it's all right. It's not playing Metal Saucers?
Is he not?
No.
Oh, yeah, I don't know what's going on with this, this man's life.
That's too big brain for me, bro. Shout out Aaron Rucker, though. He'd probably be all about that.
because that one time he played Metagross.
That's all he's known for, bro. That's his claim to fame, getting roasted by Joe of Omnipoke.
The man still had like, so total he had like 8 evolution lines, 4 rare candies and 2 stage ones. Like it doesn't even make any sense. He could not even evolve as many Pokemon as he had to evolve, and man, top forward. So
he should be ashamed of himself.
He said Victini was bad. Shout out Aaron Rucker for having the worst takes on Pokemon.
Bro, so somebody played at this Full Heel Standard tournament. They played Decidueye. How is this good?
I don't know.
Like, we got the Weedle Beedrill. I guess that cooks up on some Mew because you have to play special energies in Mew. But, I mean, you can also play around that, though. Like, if you're playing, like, 3 psychic energies, you'll be all right, especially against this. And, like, they got Crushing Hammers, whatever. But, like, Mew just slaughters Decidueye, bro.
I mean, there's somebody in here just like playing Durant to a 3-4 finish. So I don't know if this is any.
I had to check because I was looking at some of these deck lists that are on this thing. I had to check to see if there's any like altered rules or something just to make sure. And no, it's nope. Legit.
Like, you guys just let Azul get top four with more Pico. You let Joshua Sutherland come back with Zacian after, again. You know, again, right?
What else? What other shenanigans we got?
There's a
Surfetch'd. I'm just kidding.
There's a Surfetch'd up there. That shouldn't be up there. I love that deck. That deck is so much fun. Hey,
We got a Rayquaza Flaffy, bro. Went 1-4 drop.
he's just trying to live his best life, bro.
Alright. We got Blissey 1-3. Never mind. We ain't talking about no Blissey on here. Hey, but Durant's getting some love, I guess.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah. Kyogre had the same record, so it makes sense.
Jesus Christ, bro. Is this VGC dog? We're talking Kyogre? Oh my goodness.
I can't look at this.
All right. Yeah,
look,
yeah, yeah.
Here's how it goes. Rapid Strike Urshifu is good again, apparently, somehow. Jolteon's still good. Gengar, for some reason, people love. And Mew is still Mew, so still the best deck. It's not winning as much because people learn how to beat it, but if you can't
or they
beat
wanna
Mew,
ex-
you're not
experiment.
Winning a tournament.
They want to experiment and play more Pico Stonejourner.
Yeah.
But speaking of Mew, though, one more time, I forgot to mention this. This past week, I finally owned a deck of 60 cards again, bro. It's been a long time. I just had to bring that up. I was pretty excited about it.
I mean, that's fair. That's fair.
I had to bring that up because we were talking about Pokemon cards. And you know what else I got to bring up? Death Wish Coffee, ladies and gentlemen. Always got to bring up Death Wish Coffee. If you want the strongest caffeine coffee with a warning label, this is it for you. I like my coffee black just like my metal. Like, this is it. If you want good coffee, get you some Death Wish Coffee. They got K-cups, grinded coffee beans, the whole nine yards. You can get it, and you can get it with our affiliate link down low. Regionals are coming soon. You guys are going to be driving miles, all right? And you're going to have to leave early in the morning. You're going to need some coffee. Death Wish Coffee has you taken care of. I promise you that. But you know where you're not going to be driving to? Orlando.
Okay. I can't begin to express to you my disappointment. I'm from Orlando. That's where I'm from. I was looking forward to going home. I was looking forward to seeing my best friends and my teammates and team sites. There was nothing in me more excited to play Pokemon than the part of me that was excited to play Pokemon in Orlando.
It was our coming out party.
As a matter of fact, I was currently, when this was announced, I was physically messaging Maxlow about our arrangements, if we were going to get an Airbnb, what we were going to do.
I had just made my wife put days in. I was originally going to go by myself, but we were driving to my daughter to the dentist and was like, hey, you should probably take those days off. So maybe you could go, or maybe you could just stay back and keep the kids. Like, that's up to you. And we were literally talking about it. Then Scott goes quiet for about 30, 40 minutes, and the news dropped. And it's like, same thing as Scott said. I wouldn't lie to you and say this was a kick in the dick, man. Like, I get it. Like, let's be real here. Like, I understand Florida's policies and Pokemon's policies are not in line with each other. And it caused for this event to be canceled because, you know, Pokemon has integrity to keep up, and this is what they opt for. I fully support it. It just sucks because that was the day, bro. When they announced Orlando originally, Scott and I was like, oh, fuck, let's go.
Bro, you have no idea how stoked I was. But like you said, you know, policies don't agree with each other, which is fine. But that leads to this. If you are holding out simply because you're waiting, I mean, Will Post said this probably the best way, right? If you're holding out because you think Pokemon's going to change its policies, look at what just happened.
Fuck no. They're sticking to their guns.
Yeah, they said, not only are we willing to just cancel everything, but we'll do it on the spot after everybody's already made arrangements. So, you know, that's just how it goes.
This will be awful, but funny at the same time, because those people are clueless if they do this. The people who don't get a vaccine spend the boatload of cash to fly out to Salt Lake City and get turned away at the door. I do not feel an ounce of pity for you people.
No.
Make sure the window is closing. I'm not sure like how much time you got left, but the window is closing on, if you haven't already been vaccinated, to get vaccinated to go to Salt Lake City. I'm not attending Salt Lake City because I have other engagements. I have been, you know, poking the bear on that one. We're going to Vegas the week of Salt Lake City. And the last time I went to Vegas with my wife, she was 4 months pregnant, and I went to Costa Mesa Regionals. So I got burned for that one.
Yeah, you're not making it to Salt Lake. No, no chance.
No. Scott was like, hey, bro, what if we got a van and just rented it? And I was like, make it a white van, blacked out windows, come kidnap me, bro. Come kidnap me.
I'm trying to, I wasn't going to go to Salt Lake either. It's distance. And then now that Orlando got canceled, I started looking up plane tickets, and that's a distance from me being willing to pay for those tickets. So I was like, let me just see like if I can get a crew together to like take shifts driving, and we could just leave on like Wednesday or Thursday. But even that's looking, bro, 27 hours is not a short trip.
No, I made that trip to California, bro. I'm not doing it again. I'd rather pay the money, bro.
It's a grand from our airport.
Yeah, but it's a grind from your house. Pay the grand or the grind. You pick, bro.
I don't know.
Hey, well, put that on a shirt.
The grand or the grind? Perfect. No, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I probably won't end up there.
But I will let you guys know that unless it's canceled, Indy, 100%. We will be there. Well, I will be there. I'm probably dragging. If I'm going, Scott's probably in the car with me. So
we already got the B&B for Indy, bro. We're going whether or not there's a regional. And just like we'll be in Orlando, whether or not there's a regional. So,
I won't be.
I will. Yeah.
Okay. All right. You can. I'm playing my honor. And Milwaukee is 100% now. It was not. It was on the table, but it wasn't. But then this got canceled. Now Milwaukee's 100%. And of course, ain't no party like an NAIC party when Flow TK rolls by. So we will be at NAIC 100%. Don't even worry about it, dog. It's already booked up. Actually, I have no idea, but
it is booked. Okay, that's the big B&B.
Yeah.
For those of you who are associated or affiliated with Flow TK at all, and you are wondering
Except for Maxlow, I got to sleep at the Horseshoe, aka Ohio State Stadium.
I mean, you could do that if you want, but you don't want to. But yeah, so everybody that's affiliated, that's already booked and paid for. So,
oh yeah, yeah. So I will be at Milwaukee. I got mad love for that city, Scott. We got a new series coming out tomorrow on the YouTube that deals with these things. I got dibs on Milwaukee, by the way.
All right, that's fine. I had dibs on Orlando for obvious reasons, but
bro, just still do it. Just do it anyway.
I might have to, and I might just like throw shade at the fact that it won't happen. But
bro, on God, I might get lost in Chicago on my way there, though. You drive through Chicago.
Yeah.
On the
why would you get lost through Chicago?
I love Chicago. Like I actively love that city.
Oh,
and I got to bring the road dog who I met in said city to this regional event. So we may not make it to Milwaukee.
Oh, I mean, that's fine.
We're tearing down Chicago, bro.
My family's from Chicago, too. So we'll just make a hold.
I got love. Oh, bro, are you riding with me? Are we driving?
I guess if you're driving, man, I'm driving with you. Like that's not.
I mean, it's a 10-hour drive. It's not that bad.
No, not.
It's a straight shot too, because you just go up 65. You're talking about two or three people. I'll take the drive myself, bro. I'm going down memory lane. I'm going to show you the spot where I got a $400 speeding ticket and got bailed out of that shit. We're going to hit Indiana and I'm gonna be like, See that spot right there? See that right there? Cop pulled me over coming off the intersection doing 80 on a construction site.
No, my gosh. No, so yeah, that's definitely, Milwaukee's definitely on the chopping block now. Indy's definitely on the chopping block. I'll probably hit up Jersey and then NAIC. And then if I don't get my invite after that, I'll still be in London. So shout out.
The way the channel's going, I may be in London as well. Shout out to all you guys. Appreciate all the love. Y'all may be getting your boy on a flight to London. Anyway, there was more details. There were more dates added for the European side. Australia got some dates and Latin America as well. Another reason why I wanted to bring this up is Orlando got canceled, but nothing else did. And
right.
So for all the naysayers saying, I don't know if regionals are happening. They're happening, bro. Like, get ready. Like, it's going down. Like, they wouldn't just cancel one spot and leave the one that's coming up next on the table. Like, they're still going down. And I think we have a good idea now. Actually, we know for certain how Pokemon's going to handle this. So we're chilling. And they also announced the prize pool and how Pokemon Unite's regional qualifications for Worlds is going to be. So get excited for that. And to all you Pokemon Unite homies, you can still make more money playing the TCG. I just want to throw that out there. Not a big deal.
Can you really?
Yeah.
So they took their only eSport and they're like, hey, I mean, I guess everything's an eSport. I don't know. Anyhow, like, but they just said, hey, you could still make more money playing the Pokemon. Is it less than the VGC?
No, it's in the middle. It's like right in the middle. Like grand prize for winning the Pokemon Unite World Championships is 20,000 and ours is 30,000. And I think VGC's is, don't quote me on that, is it 10 or 15?
I thought it was the same as TCG.
I don't know. I just heard somebody say that it was like you get more money.
I'm about
to look it up.
Is that 20 grand per person though? So like 100 grand per team? Because that would actually make sense, yeah,
or
right?
It might
so
be 20 place, grand for the team.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah. That part I don't know.
I mean, it all depends, like how many people are playing it, you know, that kind of stuff, right? Like if it's 20 grand per team, but only like 8 teams qualify, you know, then okay, that's a really big payout. But
where do I find the pricing on the website? Where do I find it?
I don't
help
know.
Help me, please. I'm gonna find it. All right. If I don't find it in 2 seconds. Take this away from me. Win cool. It just says cool prizes, bro. That doesn't tell me anything. World championships. I keep going to the same thing. It's just telling me how many points you get.
Hold on. Qualifying.
Pokemon.
Oh, yeah, here it goes. So, prizes. Players will earn championship points for the placement in each month's events. In addition, the AOS Cup, regional championships, and world championships will feature the prizes below. So the AOS Cup, individual allocation for first prize is 2 grand.
It is 10,000 for the VGC.
And then regional championships for regionals for Unite is 4 grand per person. So 20 grand total for regionals. And then world championships is $100,000. Per team or $20,000 per person is the Unite.
So it is 20 per person.
Yeah.
So if you got a guy carrying, oh my God, y'all are going to have to sign contracts beforehand, bro. Even though you should split it like evenly. But if you got one man MVP through the whole thing, I'm not saying he deserves more cash, but like that's between y'all and the sponsorships. Y'all figure that out.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it is crazy that this is a brand new game, right? And I know it's popular and things like that, but total pricing they're putting out for Worlds for Unite, which is the first year that it's going to happen, is still $500,000. Like, total pricing for that game, right? So, I mean, and even, like, first place team, like, versus first place payout for TCG or whatever, it's still a lot more, like 100 grand per team versus what do we win, like 20?
25.
So
I thought
we're
it was
30
grand, but it was, well, at least last year it was 25. It may be more this year. Who knows? Probably not.
I feel like that's fine. I feel like the first year, that's great. If it blows up and it's like super popular and like makes news or whatever, then who knows? They could be paying out 100, or not 100, but a million next year just for that.
Yo, we're on ESPN the Ocho.
ESPN the Ocho with Greg the Geo Dude Greninja. That's his name, by the way. That's the announcer. I don't know who it's going to be, but somebody's going to legally change
Greg
his name
the
to
Geo
Greg the
Dude.
Geo Dude Greninja.
Greninja. I'm here for it. I'm here for it. I'm about it. But now, I think the real question we need to ask here is, are we going to buckle down and start a Unite team?
On a scale of 1 to things that I don't want to do because I suck at that game, that's a 10. I cannot for the life of me play that game effectively with anybody else besides Eldegoss. So if you're going to start a Unite team, if you're going to start FTK Unite, it will not have me at the helm. I'll tell you that much.
You know, like Manchester United, the soccer squad, FTK United. That'll be the name of the team.
And the mascot is Cinderace, because obvious reasons.
No, it's not. It's an Impy Dimp.
Dressed as a Cinderace.
You got the rabbit ears on, bro.
Oh my god.
He got the get up, bro.
We need to stop drinking before this podcast. Yeah.
I don't know where these ideas come from, but it's not me. I don't make the rules here. I just follow them. We don't go unscripted every night for nothing. On that note, we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we got more stuff to talk about. For example, we have some more Brilliant Stars coverage I want to go over. I was looking at some Japanese lists, and I want to talk about that. I want to break down some of the consistency engines that are coming in Brilliant Stars, and I also want to talk more about Legends Arceus. So we'll be right back. Man, there's a tournament tonight. 2-pack entry, bro. I don't have any codes right now. Like, this
bro.
Is terrible. Yo, what's
bro,
up, man?
Bro, why don't you just go to ptcgostore.com?
What's that?
It's only the best place to buy codes online right now. You haven't heard of it?
No.
You gotta go on there, bro. And guess what? You can get a discount.
Oh, I can get a discount, dog? Oh, is it like that promo code thing? Like, I think I heard like FlowTKast, FLOWTKAST. You can enter it there.
100%. 100%. Enter it in the promo code spot and you get 5% off.
5% off. That's insane deal, guys. Check out ptcgostore.com. Enter that code FlowTKast and get your 5% off now. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Brilliant Stars is almost upon us. It is like the most hyped thing. A matter of fact, 2 weeks from now, so literally one podcast left because it'll be released on PTCGO after we record the pod. Oh, that's gonna be an interesting pod. We gotta talk about that later. How we're gonna do that. So this pod and next pod, and then after that it'll be Brilliant Stars will be out on PTCGO, and I think this weekend starts pre-releases, am I correct?
Yes. So Saturday is the first pre-release day, yeah.
Ooh. Do we got somebody doing pre-releases around here?
Those peoples.
Oh, we got two.
Yeah.
Are you doing pre-releases? I literally need like 3 cards.
Technically, yes. Am I playing in pre-releases? No.
I wonder if there's slots available or if they bought up. Because the trainer rare cards are absolutely incredible, and this set's going to be hard to find. I'm sorry.
Maybe. So here's the thing. It'll be hard to find at first, and then everything that you want is going to be bulk tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, like all the competitive cards are going to be good to go. But like, if you want to complete this set, if you're a collector, I'm giving you the thumbs up in the camera right now, because good luck. Have fun. Because they got Sylveon character rare in here. Sylveon VMAX character rare. They got Umbreon VMAX character rare. They actually officially revealed those. Those are insane. They got the gold Urshifus. Whatever. Sure. I mean, I'm not a fan. But, like, they got some bangers in this set. And also, what's a Pokemon set if you don't mention Altart Charizard? So, once again, giving you guys a thumbs up. Good luck. Have fun. Do not kill anybody. It'd be greatly appreciated. But, yeah. So, with Brilliant Stars coming out very soon, I do want to talk about one of the most important aspects of Brilliant Stars, and that is the new consistency engines that they put in this set. Specifically for, obviously, for playable cards. The first one, when you think of consistency, what's the first card you think of, Scott?
Ultra Ball.
Ultra Ball is back, ladies and gentlemen, and I am hyped. I said I need 3 cards in this set for pre-releases. Technically, I need 7, but as I said earlier, maybe before the podcast started, if you've been playing Pokemon for the last 6 or 7 years, you probably got a whole binder full of Ultra Balls. So we are stacked to the brim. Scott, how you feel about Ultra Ball coming back?
I mean, I've said it for a while. Like, there's no reason that there shouldn't be a format without Ultra Ball, right? It fixes so many things. It makes so many things more viable, and it just speeds up the game so much. So when Ultra Ball rotated,
Ultra Bro for Shaymin EX.
Yeah, there you go. I was confused, bro. I don't think I've ever played in a format without Ultra Ball. And for a little while, I was lost as to like what was going to happen. But
I could see the other side of the coin, though, because I think James Arnold tweeted about it when it was first revealed. He was like, "Ultra Ball is a lazy card print, like mechanic in the game, or like a lazy consistency card, because every deck's going to run it, right? You know, right. When Ultra Ball was gone, you had what was it, Netball?" I think Nestball rotated.
Yeah.
You had Netball, you had Mysterious Treasure, you had Pokemon Communication, you had Cherish Ball. And then after that, like after like Netball was gone and stuff, you still had Pokemon Communication, Evolution Incense, Cherish Ball still? No, I think Cherish Ball rotated. But like you had Quick Ball come out, which Quick Ball was a godsend when it came out. Like absolute. Oh my goodness. It was like the closest thing to Ultra Ball without it being Ultra Ball. So I could see that, like him saying that, because now every deck's going to have 4 spots for Ultra Ball and then finish out the rest, right?
Yeah. Right. But what it does at the same time, right?
It makes peasants gives decks, like me.
it gives decks that like don't have another way. So like Mew is good because it has Quick Ball and Fog Crystal, right? You could search for all your pieces, right? Decks that are good can search for all the pieces, right? Ultra Ball gives decks that don't necessarily have a specified search or whatever a way to get their pieces faster. So it makes them more relevant. The other thing it does is it clearly, especially in this format where things are being defined really fast as far as like players, you have a format where Mew now is already punishing you for getting rid of the wrong card. Now you're going to put 4 Ultra Ball in it, and you're really going to be punished for getting rid of 2 cards, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with any other deck. So Ultra Ball in this format, at least at the first part of it, I think is definitely going to separate good versus, you know, bad players, which I'm always okay for. Like, not saying that I'm a good player by any means, but it'll force me to really think about what I'm discarding rather than, oh, it's only 1 card I play a 4 of. It's fine, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. I love Ultra Ball. Ultra Ball is one of my favorite aspects of the game. And now I have Level Ball and Ultra Ball, so I can't be happier.
Oh my God, that's right. It's the old days all over again. Nah, it's I think it'd be good, especially in this situation, because it like even fringe decks that like struggled like with consistency, like I'm just throwing fucking do with this information as you will. Malamar VMAX, right? We'll take that. Dark Patch is coming soon. Go crazy, all right? Like Malamar, right? What are you going to play? Evolution Incense and then what, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, now you have Ultra Ball. You can make Malamar more consistent, and you may see it at the top tables with Arceus V-Star. Who knows? I could be making shit up. I mean, once again, Dark Patch is coming soon, so do with that information as you will. But decks like that, like maybe the rogue decks that like didn't have, they had the same consistency, but it wasn't enough, right? You couldn't find your VMAXs appropriately. You couldn't find your stage 2 Pokemon good enough. You know, now we have ways around that. I don't know how good stage 2s are going to be coming up. But, I mean, there's merit for it, right? Because you do have things like Ultra Ball in the format. Arceus V-Star, we talked about last week. We gave a whole segment on it. Like, it's I feel like for how the card designs are now, I think Ultra Ball is a more skill-intensive thing. And now I do see the other side where it is kind of a lazy design because it doesn't give each deck archetype its own kind of ball search. Now you just have, like, one ball search that, like, trumps all of it, because like in what situation are you gonna go, I'm gonna play Fog Crystal over like four Fog Crystals over four Ultra Balls? When are you gonna say that?
I mean, if you play little to no psychic energy, play mostly basic psychic Pokemon and need a way to search your psychic energy, right? Like, there's still merits to play Fog Crystal. That's the thing.
Yeah, but you wouldn't play that over Ultra Ball. You'd play that with Ultra Ball.
Yeah, but I mean, it's fine.
So like for example, like the best deck in the format, Sylveon Arceus. No, I'm just playing Mew VMAX. Like, you're gonna play four Ultra Ball, four Quick Ball, and then two Fog Crystal, right? Consistency is king. I think the format's gonna get faster. I don't think it's going to be. It's going to be faster and more consistent, but I don't think it's going to be like still a one-shot meta just quite yet. I think. I don't know. But there's other consistency cards we want to talk about too, and that's Bibarill. Bibarill is another one. This one was a classic. If you guys heard of Abyssal Hand, you've heard of Bibarill, right? I don't even know what the ability does. It just does Abyssal Hand. It just draws until you have five cards in your hand. I think single prize decks will love this card. I think some two prize or like VMAX heavy decks will like this card too. Like anything, yeah. That, you know, it's a draw until you have five cards in your hand, and it stacks, of course. So if you're playing like three Bibarills on the bench, like you can do that five times. It's almost as good as Genesect, but not. No, it might be better than Genesect, huh?
Like, I mean, objectively, right? Because yeah. It's if you have one Bibarill, it's better than Genesect. But if you have Genesect plus five Fusion Strike, then Genesect is better, yeah. Right? So,
yeah, the stipulations aren't as bad, but like it also is a stage one. So, but like I said, it's Abyssal Hand. We have ways of, you know, searching that out now. Ultra Ball, as I mentioned, in Evolution's Instance and stuff, and a lot of things do thin the hand down, right? We have all these discard cards and draw, and I don't know, man. What decks do you think will capitalize on Bibarill the most? Like, off the top of your head, give me two or three.
Let's go with, I think Mahone was playing a one prize deck that was absolutely killing it with this. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mad Party?
Yeah, that's the one.
Oh, shit. We got,
yeah.
Put a bookmark on Mad Party. We have to talk about something in a second.
Okay.
After that. Yeah, so, Mad Party could do well with it.
Mad Party, any one prizer deck that's not Malamar, I think definitely not.
You sure Malamar won't do good with it?
The reason why Malamar won't is because
you have to build your hand up, right?
Right. Yeah, so you don't want to draw till you have five because the other cards don't really do that. You have the supporters to do that, and then the Chinchino or whatever the case is, build your hand further. Actually, there is a world where like you don't play the Chinchino build and you play the Inteleon engine, and then you play Biberul or Biberul to draw. I guess in certain builds it could be good.
Rapid Strike Urshifu.
Yeah, Rapid Strike Urshifu is...
I was just making that up, but it could be good, no, right?
I think so. I think it's good. A lot of times late game, you have a handful of cards, but early game, especially with Ultra Ball, I feel like it might be good in that deck. I can see Sylveon. Regular Sylveon with Biberul is great, right? So
it's just a great consistency card. Sylveon's still going to be the best deck in the format. I don't care.
Any stall deck is going to play Biberul.
Bro, just imagine Biberul, Gormandize, Biberul. I'm just making shit up at this point.
Why would you do that? That doesn't sound good.
What about Metagross VMAX and Biberul, bro? You know what? Fuck it. Put it on the put it on the table.
Put it a 1/1 Biberul line in every deck. Calling it out right now. You're gonna play six cards in every single deck. You're gonna play four Ultra Ball, 1/1 Biberul.
Oh my goodness. No, I think Biberul is gonna have merit to a lot of things, right? It's a consistency engine that can splash. It's splashable in any deck. You could build an Arceus Biberul deck if you want to. I don't know why you would want to, but you could. You're gonna need some sort of other attacker, bro. Like,
I think it's just so you can announce Industrious Incisors, because that's the name of the ability.
No, it's Abyssal Hand, bro.
I am really looking forward to somebody, like, especially on stream. Like, I'm waiting for the moment on stream that somebody hits a 3-energy tail smash for 100 damage and flips heads for the game. Like, because its attack does 100, but if you flip a coin, and if it's tails, it does nothing, right? So I'm waiting for the 100 for game on a coin flip.
They're going to be like, fuck it. Tails. Shit, I lose. Yeah. All right, pack it up, kid. And then the last consistency card, we were talking about it a little bit earlier. It's Lumineon V, the new Tapu Lele. I don't remember who I was talking to about this. It might have just been on stream, or it might have just been in. I don't remember who I was talking to about this, but Lumineon is an incredible card, right? The ability to search out any supporter you want has always been good, right? But what made Tapu Lele better at its time is the turn one supporter rule, right? Because you can go first, bridge it, fill your bench with basics. You can't do that here with Lumineon, which is why I don't think decks will. You will never. I could be wrong. This is a hot take. Maybe not. You will see. I think you'll see decks play 0/1 of one of these.
It's not a 2 or 3 like Lele was.
Yeah, or 4 in some cases. And also, Lele was a better attacker too, right? Because energy drive was always good.
Objectively, yeah, because it was double colorless. In Melanie decks, the 120 plus shuffle is not bad, right? Just because it allows you to use it multiple times and also gets a 2-prizer off the field. So I could see some world where like Kyogre or some other single prize water deck plays Lumineon and it just swings for 120 and then shuffles it back so you can't knock it out.
I can see a world where if Ice Rider is playing one of these and Ice Rider Arceus, you could swing with it if you have to. Like, it's an option of it. Or, shit, what the fuck? Suicune,
yeah. Suicune
could do something like that, too. So,
I mean, it's not great, but it's not a bad attack. But Lele was definitely the better one.
And did it shuffle? It goes into your hand or back into the deck?
It's shuffle this Pokemon and all attached cards back into your deck.
Okay, so you swing with it, and then next turn you can go find it, grab
right
boss for game or whatever. So, I think the attack...
It also is a shuffle, so if you have to Marnie stuff and back to the bottom that you need in the next turn, you could then shuffle, like if you have no other shuffle option, you could shuffle it back so you could possibly top deck it, which seems terrible, but it is a play that's available, right?
Yeah. You freshen up the deck, essentially. It's always like a, I don't know if it's like a playing thing or just like the correct way to do things. I just feel better, like if I've played Marnie or played Marnie, that I play some sort of search card so I can shuffle my deck. Just I feel better about my life, okay? Like, even if my hand was trash and I shuffle my deck up, I'm like, okay, I can win this game. And then I proceed to get my ass clapped. So,
yeah,
like, it just makes me feel good about my life. But
fair.
Like I said, I don't think Luminion will ever be a world where you play like three of these, because I don't think it's going to be vital to find your turn one Luminion, your turn one Bridget, right? Unless you're going second. And even then, like, there's not that kind of setup deck out right now.
No, this is definitely a late game find your Marnie or late game find your research to find the last piece.
Yeah.
Card. It's not a early game
setup. Yeah.
Setup. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a late game thing for sure. Now I put a pin on Mad Party. I hate talking about shit like this, but Scott, there was some drama this weekend.
What happened?
Or maybe it was Tuesday, not the weekend. It was when I was out on, it was when I took my daughter to the dentist. So it was Tuesday. All right, so your boy Jose Marrero posts a Mad Party list that him and our boy Aaron Rucker was testing.
Right.
And in this post, some jackass in the comments said that Mad Party was a deck for females only.
Oh. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And I was at a rest stop or a gas station. I popped my phone up and the Twitter world was blowing the fuck up over this. Rightfully so, right? This was a fucking a dirtbag move. And let me tell you something. This man's profile picture, I don't even know if it's a man. I'm just assuming it is to say in something so belligerent as that. His profile picture was a damn Tamagotchi and his name was Pokewalker. So we'll never know who he is as a person. But that does not excuse him for saying some dumb shit like that.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds to me like he just, like, probably made the account just to be a troll, or maybe he just exists as a troll in its entirety. It's still not excusable. So, like, this community is all-inclusive, bro. And if you don't like it, then I'll see to your exit myself if I have to. So,
look.
That's all I got to say about that. Like, that is... Oh my gosh,
bro! It was fingers to temples, bro. I was like, "What the fuck, dude? What are you doing?" Which, I mean, to say something so asinine like that, it's just an attention grabber, right? It's to get the whole fucking community up in arms over something, and like, this is a problem, right? Like, all gaming communities battle this, like, inclusivity for everyone, and like, we don't need this kind of behavior in our community. I shouldn't have to preach this on my podcast, but I have to, because I don't want to, like, I have a 3-year-old daughter, right? She's going to be 4 this year. She's going to want to be a part of something as she grows up, right? Something bigger than her, or like a community that engages in the same likes and interests as she has. I'm guaranteed she's going to want to be that way. And if we got fucking scumbags, Muppets, I think I called him a Muppet. Yeah, good one right here. Pat on the back. Me, good comeback.
I wish you wouldn't tarnish Muppets like that.
I'm sorry. I couldn't think of anything, bro. I was running low on steam. I was on the road for hours. But anyway, this dirtbag to just say shit like that. It's like, what the fuck, dude? Like, I also said, I hope this man doesn't have kids where he preaches, you know, influences him to think that way, because that kind of shit does not fly in my house. Like, it doesn't matter. Racism, sexism, none of that. Everybody's equal. We are one unit, one family, and we treat everybody the same. Like, that's just how it is. So to dude who said that, you got your day's worth of fame and then promptly deleted your account. and you go back off into the abyss and we'll never think of you again. But this situation is something we should never forget, right? We should always be always welcoming, no matter what your gender is, what you, you know, what you view yourself as, or anything, race, gender, doesn't matter. Like, we're one big family and it should always stay that way. You got any words? I know I rambled a little bit.
No, that's pretty much it. Like I said, if you got any issues with anybody playing whatever deck they want, right? Because this ain't like that, right? So if you have any issues with anything, just come see me. Come see me. Like I said, I'll see to your exit myself. I don't want to kick anybody out of the community. I don't want to be the one that does that, but I also don't want that kind of garbage in any community that I'm part of, because a thing that keeps me in this community and keeps me striving this community is the fact that no matter what happens, me and my friends will always belong. My friends span a vast range of different peoples from different walks of life. And, we all exist within Pokemon because we can. And comments like that just, they perpetuate some like view that, like, you know, like even if it wasn't intentional, like by saying that, he's basically saying that like men are better at the game than women or whatever the case may be. And that's like, not the case.
Like decks are catered to like each gender, which is not the case either. Like, yes, it is clearly obvious that there are some Pokemon that are like designed to be more girly than others to include everyone, right? Like Pokemon has been phenomenal.
Feminine, not girly.
I'm sorry, feminine, whatever. All right, whatever. Y'all know what I mean, right? They're more feminine than others. And like, that's to include everyone, right? You know, my little baby Harper here is going to get into Pokemon and she sees a Sylveon on the screen and she's like, oh my God, that is the cutest thing I've ever seen. I thought the same thing. I love Sylveon, one of my favorite Pokemon for sure, 100%. And, you know, and there's plenty of examples like that, which is great because let's look at fucking Yu-Gi-Oh, for Christ's sake, right? Like, or like any other, you know, like Pokemon has been great about building a community that is inclusive, like the brand. And yeah, a lot of the people that are, you know, staples to the community have been building it up as an inclusive thing. So fuck that dude, bro. That makes me so mad. Like, I just want to play Mad Party for a whole season just to spite the dude, but I'm not going to, because I don't like it. Like, personally, like, I don't like that kind of strategy. I'm more of a rock'em sock'em robot, but like, that's just me. It's like, what the fuck was this dude thinking, bro?
I don't know. Like I said, he had to have been trolling. I think we're giving him more
More
credit
time,
is probably
more
worth,
air
yeah,
time but than he deserves. So we'll just move off of that. But I'd feel dirty for not mentioning it, like, at all. It needs to be mentioned. So with that being said, I am going to get Mad Party on a playmat, bro. I am going to do that.
You are.
And I'm going to
get
it through.
You're ordering a lot of playmats.
Bro, you know me, dog. I got a playmat sponsorship. I gotta get my loads in, bro. I got to get my inventory stacked up, and you can get you a Mad Party playmat that you've designed or had a friend design or whatever. You could even fucking, cheapscape your way out and just take the picture of the card. I don't recommend this, especially if you want to sell them. Like, don't do this. But like, you know, if you want it for yourself, you can make your own custom playmats at inkedgaming.com, ladies and gentlemen. And you can get them with our affiliate link down below. Regionals are coming soon. We only had one canceled. RIP my people of Orlando. Nothing wrong with them. They just lost their regionals. But you can get yours in the link in the show notes below. It helps them out and helps us out. And who doesn't want a cool custom playmat to rock their favorite deck on? Because I know I'm going to have one locked and loaded, ready to go. And now I have a little bit more time to perfect my art style I want on my playmat because, it'll be a little bit beforehand. So, yeah, check out inkedgaming.com. And the Switch Direct, my dude, was yesterday. Did you see any of it?
No. No, I had zero. So this was my plan. Like, I knew that we were going to talk about it today, so I had two options. I could either take my breaks at work and look it up. Or I could wait to get excited live on the pod as you told me stuff. So I'll wait for you to tell me things, right, and then I'll give my live reaction.
All right. Do you want the banger first, or do you want me to go through some of the stuff I liked first? What do you want first?
Some of the stuff you liked. Let's
all
go
right
there.
So Xenoblade Chronicles 3 was announced. I almost done with Xenoblades 1. Still got to play 2. I do. JRPGs are weird for me because, like, some of them are outrageous for no reason. Yeah. But, like, they're fun. I enjoy those kind of solo games like that. That was pretty hype. They announced Fire Emblem's Warriors, which is one of them hack and slash games. I can't stand those games. Like, there was leaks or, like, rumors. You know that Hyrule Warriors?
Yeah.
I don't fuck with those games.
So it's a fighting game.
It's not like a fighting game. It's like you're up against like hordes of enemies and you just like slash your way through them all. Like
I got really pepped up when you said Fire Emblem, and then I lost every bit of excitement.
Yeah, there was rumors before the event that there was gonna be a new Fire Emblem game. And I was like, all right, Three Houses was dope. I really liked that game a lot. It was pretty cool. And then they opened the thing with the characters of Three Houses. And I was like, oh, bro, a sequel. Well, it is a sequel, but it's that kind of game. And it's called Three Hopes. They showed more gameplay of Kirby. One of the best memes came out of this whole thing. It's Carby. Kirby now swallows a whole car. And you can drive around. And he also swallows cones, vending machines, and scissor lifts and everything, bro.
This is the Kirby game we've needed my entire life.
There was a bunch of Mario Strikers was announced. Mario Kart.
Baseball?
It's soccer. It's okay. It's like Robo Soccer or whatever the fuck. Like it looks pretty dope. I want to play it. Mario Kart gets DLC packs for new. They're remastering old racetracks and bringing them to the game. And if you have, it's like 48 new tracks, bro. Like
that. Oh, that is like creme of the crop right there.
Yeah,
idea how many times I get like plastered, and I look at my wife, and I'm like, "We're playing Mario Kart." She's like, "Not again." I'm like, "No, fucking doing it right now."
That's like the only video game my wife plays other than Animal Crossing. So that was hype. No new Smash characters, obviously, because they're done. And
what do you mean? I thought Dominic Toretto was guaranteed a Smash character in 2022.
Bro, I looked at my... I just want to say I looked at my predictions before. And, like, I reviewed it on stream, and I got none right.
I could have told you that.
I really thought I had him at Final Fantasy 14 coming to the Switch, but apparently... No. Or Final Fantasy. They did announce Kingdom Hearts coming to the Switch, but we already knew that. It's out
not
today.
Excited. Don't care.
Yeah, whatever. I already have it on the PlayStation.
I just hate Kingdom Hearts. Continue.
But like if you have the Switch Online expansion that comes with the N64 games, like if you've already purchased that, you get these for free. Otherwise, like you get the DLC for Mario Kart for free.
Okay.
Otherwise, if you don't have it, you pay $25 and you get all, I think it's like 6 waves. So that's a pretty good deal if you already got that. And then the banger, bro.
All right.
Y'all remember Wii Sports?
No.
Nintendo Switch Sports?
I'm done.
What do you mean? Bro, you like bowling, bro. I thought you were the first person I thought of when this came out. I was like, bro.
No. Here's the deal. I like, actually, it's the same reason why I don't watch football. Like, if you invited me to go out and play, like, in an adult league flag football team, I would be there right now, right? I love physically doing things. I hate video game sports. I especially hate video game sports because this is what happens. Now that I bowl, right? I bowl or fish, same thing, right? Now that I do these things, right? I go do them at least once a week, right? Whenever I go to work now, after this comes out, I'm going to be like talking to somebody. I'll be like, yeah, I bowled this weekend, blah, blah, blah. This is how I did. Somebody 100% of the time is going to come up and be like, I bowled a 300 on Switch Sports. every time, bro, this is the same thing. That's the same reason why I don't talk about Pokemon at work anymore, because every time somebody asks me about it and I'm like, oh yeah, I went to this tournament, I did pretty well. Every time somebody's like, you still play Pokemon Go? No, never played Pokemon Go. Never cared about Pokemon Go. Don't care about that. It's not the same game. Please stop.
Bro, you were the first person I thought of when they announced.
I got way too angry. I'm sorry for everybody listening.
They got bowling coming back. Tennis is coming back. Tennis was hype. I don't give a fuck, bro. Badminton. I'm just saying. Golf. They got.
I might fuck around and play drunk.
Volleyball, bro. Service. Wow, bro, it's gonna be lit, dog. Yo, I was dumb hype when they announced it, bro.
I can't. Why is that the banger? Like, bro, why?
It was the end banger. Like, to end this, the set was Xenoblade 3. Let me finish.
That makes sense.
Let me finish 2 before I get super hyped. I was pretty hyped about it, but I was like, "Fuck, dude, I'm still working on 1." Like,
that. That's a good. I have not played that series, but it looks good, and I know a lot of people are hyped about that. So yeah. That makes.
I was
more
also
sense
hyped. It comes out in September.
Oh,
that was pretty
you got
good.
A very short time.
Yeah,
be
I know.
Testing, training for regionals, and also playing Xenoblade.
Yeah, getting through Xenoblades, bro. And I
plus
also got to
fit
Yu-Gi-Oh.
In Arceus. Like,
oh fuck, we didn't even talk about Arceus, bro. We haven't even got to that. Let's do a quick rundown on Arceus. Scott, you already finished the story, right? Did you complete the
finish
Pokedex?
100%. Yeah. No, not yet. But I have been doing other things.
Have you mastered the shiny hunting mechanic?
Yeah. That's what I've been doing.
Oh my goodness, bro. All right. We got to have a debate. Is this the easiest shiny hunting has ever been or the most fun? How do you feel about it?
So both. So here's the thing about shiny hunting on Arceus is you don't really have to shiny hunt to find shinies, right? Like, I mean, I know in the games you don't have to either, but throughout the play of the story, I found 4 shinies naturally, right? They let you know they're there. They're in the overworld. You can see them when you're flying over with Braviary, things like that, right? So good on them for that. Like, it makes it easy to find shinies. But if you want to find specific shinies, you got to do some work still. It's still easy, but it is a lot of fun because I never go look for a shiny, and if I see that shiny, that's where I stop. I don't just catch a shiny and walk away, right? Like, I'm always still doing everything, mm-hmm. right? I love mundane tasks. I promise you, games with mundane tasks are like my shit, and I never realized it until now. Like, I loved Animal Crossing for the same reason. I didn't realize it then, but I love Legends of Arceus because I will walk around for hours just collecting apricorns for no reason. I can't tell you how many balls I can make right now that I'm just not crafting because I still buy them at the store.
Yeah, I it's more enjoyable to shiny hunt, right? Like, I don't think shiny hunting has ever been hard as it has been just long. Like,
yeah,
like
it's definitely not as frustrating to shiny hunt on Legends,
like,
at all.
Hunting or hatching 400 eggs to get a shiny Zorua, like in Sword and Shield, was never like hard. Like, it's not hard to do that, but it was just time consuming and boring.
Yeah.
This is awesome. Even soft resetting to get your mass outbreaks right, to get the shiny hunt. I have 15 shinies right now, and I love it, bro. I absolutely love it. I love it so much that right before, bro, tell me this is some fuck shit, right? Right before the Switch stream or the Direct yesterday, I was at school, and I was like playing around a little bit, and I saw a mass outbreak Zorua, and I was hyped. I was like, oh fuck yeah, dude, I'm saving that. We're gonna shiny hunt right before the Switch Direct happens. As soon as I hit that thing, a shiny Zorua popped up, and I look like a fucking clown, bro. I'm like,
broken.
Bro, they're gonna be like, wow, he rigged it. And I'll be like, nah, bro.
He hacked it.
It's hacked, bro. No, it's like it's like that sometimes. Like, sometimes you get an outbreak, there's a shiny. Like, you have like a 1 in 100 chance of it. But like, picking what shiny you want, like resetting over and over to get the Pokemon you want to outbreak and then sit on that and hunt it, can be a little tedious, a little bit kind of boring. But like, just traveling the world is incredible. And more and more I play this game, I'm like, bro, there is going to be DLCs in this thing, bro. Like,
there. So here's the thing about DLCs. There, you know that little spot on the map? It's covered by the clouds in the bottom left corner. Those clouds never move. Like, that's obvious land.
Yeah, that's gonna be something, bro.
Also, like in the mountain, right? Like, you know, you should be able to fly up to the top, right? But you can't. You have to go through the tunnel. That's all that dead space you can't access for some reason, even though it's on the map. Throwing that out there.
Look, Pokemon loves their deserts, bro. There's not a desert in the game. I'm just saying, dog.
While we're talking about this game, though, I want to give a quick shout out to some little things that I've noticed that we didn't talk about before. You know how much I love little details. Did you realize you take off your shoes when you go into your room?
Yeah, I did.
Did you realize that fucking Poke doll shows up after you do that quest on your windowsill?
No, I didn't.
So after you complete the Poke doll quest, you have a little Poke doll on your windowsill from that point on.
I'm not over the fact that when you do these side quests, the Pokemon that you catch to give to them stay in your town, bro.
Bro, just forever.
Yeah.
And like, the one that evolved into a... he evolved into a Cascoon. If you talk to him again, he evolves again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Unreal.
The farming guy.
Yeah.
The fact that I could just grow things is awesome. Muddy Pokemon. When you run through the bogs, like, this makes sense, right? Because you're running through the bogs, but when you're running through the bogs, your Pokemon get muddy. Like,
yeah, your feet.
Yeah. It's insane. I don't know. But even something as simple as, like, when you're farming with them, every Pokemon has a different mechanic. Like, Infernape, like, roundhouse kicks, right? Like, Pichu trips and falls because Pichu is clumsy. Like, when she goes to collect your apricorns, she just, like, falls down on her face, right? I say she because mine's a girl, right? Gengar, like, sticks his tongue out. Like, everybody has, like, a different mechanic. And
bro,
I'm like,
Gengar
where did...
be licking your berries, bro.
Bro, I'm like, which is funny because I don't know if it's just I've noticed more or not, but I feel like I get more spoiled apricorns when Gengar farms than anybody else. And I think it's because of his tongue. I can't confirm nor deny that. That may just be wishful thinking, but who knows?
Gengar out here just sniffing all of it, bro. Oh my god. Yeah, just the little things of what this game provides is like unreal, dude. I thought after I completed the Pokédex, and spoiler alert, you catch Arceus after you complete the Pokédex. Who knew?
Who knew?
I thought after I was going to do that, I was like, I'm done. Like, what else do I do? There's a ton to do, and it starts and finishes with shiny hunting. Because the experience of shiny hunting in this game is top-notch compared to any other game. Bar none, hands down. No questions asked. The feeling I get when I see original trainer next to my shiny Zarua and it says Floatycast on it. I'm going to have to rebrand the channel now after the colorway of that Pokemon. So get ready for that.
One last small thing before we move on to the next talking point, and then we can move on. Did you notice that in the Pokédex, you can change the picture to the shiny form?
You can do that in Sword and Shield, too.
Yeah, but it stays permanently. Oh. It doesn't stay in Sword and Shield because it's literally a picture taped into a book. So when you change it over, that's the permanent picture. Whenever you flip to that page again, it'll be the shiny form.
Oh, bro. Well, guess what? Shiny Zarua and shiny Zoroark, top-notch Pokemon. I don't care what anybody says. It's my favorite in the game. I do hope when Pokemon Day is coming, that's in like 2 weeks too, we're going to have a fucking banger episode in 2 weeks. Get ready for it. When that happens, I hope they do some sort of like where you can bring your Hisuian forms at least to the Sword and Shield
competitive.
Yeah. Because I'd like to test out like Zoroark, Ursaluna, stuff like that. I know Ursaring's not really in, is it?
I don't remember
either. But like, if those Pokemon are in Sword and Shield already, I think all of them are. except for the starters. I know Typhlosion and Samurott aren't, but like if they're already in Sword and Shield, it would be sweet if we can use the Hisuian forms. So that's what I'm hoping for. Other than that, Arceus is incredible. And one last thing I do want to leave you guys with is the Super Bowl is this weekend. Rams, Bengals, Scott, who do you got?
So this is going to sound really bad, but who's that quarterback that you are absolutely in love with because he used to be a Lion? What team does he play for?
Oh, the LA Rams.
The Rams. Okay. So just because the LA Rams are from LA and, I used to live close by there. And my boy is super stoked for his man, Stafford. Oh, yeah. You're holding the jersey. Yeah, Stafford. So because he's super stoked for my boy Stafford, I'm going to say they lose by 13 and the Bengals win.
I knew you were going to do that. you want to put a friendly bet
Bengals
on it?
They have the coolest helmet. They have the coolest helmet. And so they deserve a Super Bowl. I read a tweet that made me sad that the last time the Bengals won a playoff game was before text messaging. And so that means that the first, like, somebody texted the Bengals went to the Super Bowl for the first time ever. Like, that's sad. Like, I feel like, so they deserve something, right? You know, that it's been a while. They have the coolest uniform. They are, however, seemingly the underdog. And I just saw their record for the first time, and I don't know how they made it. So there is that.
Well, look,
I don't know.
We'll take Matthew Stafford out of the equation. I used to live in California. Well, I was stationed in California, but I got homies out there. Kendrick Lamar, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre, Mary J. Blige, and Eminem are performing the halftime show.
What a banger
in
of a
LA.
Like, who woke up and was like, I'm going to put these guys together on the same stage for one show?
Yo, what a show, right? It's in L.A. The Super Bowl is. The L.A. Rams are playing. You got that kind of halftime show. Give me L.A. by 14. Oh, Stafford's involved. L.A. by 21. You wanna make a friendly bet on it, though? It doesn't have to be money. You want to do something dumb?
I mean, sure. What do you want? What's going on?
If the Cincinnati Bengals win the Super Bowl, I will pierce my left ear.
I feel like it's not worth it. How about this? How about this?
All right.
If the Bengals win the Super Bowl, then you have to, at the first regional you show up to, wear whatever shirt I make for you.
All right.
And then if the Rams win, I have to do the same thing. You submit a design and I'll get printed on a shirt and I'll wear it to the first regional. Not while we're playing, because I can't contractually wear it while we're playing, but I'll wear it Sunday.
Sam, you said Sunday? You have to play Sunday, bro. You're day two.
Well, okay. I'll wear it anytime. I will literally get up from every game and put on the t-shirt and wear it around and then take it off.
We'll just do hoodies, bro.
Or hat. We'll do hats.
Hats. We'll do hats.
Hats.
We'll have
right, perfect.
Some. It doesn't have to be a design. It can just be a stupid hat.
Like, yeah, just stupid hat. That's
like
it.
Like a clown hat or something. Or, yeah. All right. That'll work. We'll do that. So there you have it. Scott's got the Bengals. He's picking the Ohio team. He should be ashamed of himself. And I got the Rams, of course. I've had the Rams since day one. And by day one, I mean as soon as Stafford got traded from the Lions to the Rams. So this time last year, I was a Rams fan. So not a bandwagoner.
I am excited for him, though. I will say that.
That man deserves everything he's got this year, yeah. Bro. Like, putting up with us for 12 years. Give that man the ring already, all right? All right, that's been episode 82. You know the deal. Scott, lay it on us.
Same thing as always, check out the YouTube, that's FlowTCast, if you were confused because you listened to our podcast. Check out the Twitch, Maxwell's streaming on Twitch again, so check that out. I don't know what the deal was, but he decided that YouTube wasn't doing it for him with the streaming thing, so he's back on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/FlowTCast. Add us both on Twitter. You can find our Twitter handles in the link tree down below. You're raising your hand.
I would like to excuse my actions for the Twitch to YouTube scandal. It's not a scandal. The reason I moved back to Twitch is I realized that it was redundant to make highlight videos and recaps and stuff like that on YouTube, like from my streams. So that was ruining a bunch of content, I felt, by streaming over there. Because, like, I can rip Twitch video, like Twitch streams, and edit them and make them all cool and stuff, and then put them over on YouTube. So that was a big thing. And then also the community as well. I missed my homies. So I felt like the YouTube streams were pretty cool, but, like, ain't nothing like a Twitch party. I'm just saying, like, there's just a vibe to it. All right, keep going.
All right. So with that being said, make sure to check out our Patreon. We'll get that going eventually. I promise by this time next year, we'll have one.
By regional time, we will have shit for you guys on the Patreon. I promise you.
And yeah, that's it, man. That's been episode 8 dose.
82, my guys and girls. It's been a good one. As always, we will catch you guys next week. Same time. You know the deal. So we'll see y'all.
Peace.
Peace.